Hello and welcome back to the Extra Movie Butter Podcast. This week, we're deciding to do something a little different. Last week, we had the Oscars and we had Jacob London on. It was a blast. However, I did hint at what we were going to be doing this week, and it is something very, very special. We're welcoming in the one and only Andy Merriweather and the amazing Melissa Woody. Andy, you know from Settle the Score. Melissa, you know from Film Coven. We had to invite them in because this week we are going to be doing horror Oscars. If you've tuned into our show before, you know that a few weeks ago we had Matt Nost on and we did action movie Oscars, the Slarnies, as they were called. Well, now we're going to jump into some scary shit and we're going to talk about the greatest horror movies, greatest horror actors, greatest horror scores, and we're going to give horror, which is not a very like Oscar-friendly genre of movies, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a few people that can scream justice for a couple actors, actresses that may have been passed by. Tonight, we're going to give them their credit and we're going to give them their due. So let's kick off by first off welcoming Melissa Woody and Andy Merriweather. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited.
And also, thank you guys for braving Andy. I'm sure it's like 1 o'clock in the morning right now for you.
Well, you guys have done your daylight savings and ours is at the end of the month. So we've bought an hour. So yeah, we can go deep cut. No problem at all.
Right. We're going deep cut here. And Melissa, it's great to see you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk some horror movies with y'all.
And warning to JTE, be nice if somebody doesn't choose your actor or actress, okay?
I will fight for my champion. Do not throw me in the corner.
Well, you all learned a lesson. You don't throw JTE in a corner.
Got it.
Noted.
Well, why don't we kick off? We're going to start with Best Supporting Actor in a horror movie. Melissa, you're our guest. Why don't you kick us off with who you think is your best supporting actor and why?
Yeah. So I did go with maybe a off-the-wall pick. And of course, it is the person that I'm going to have a difficult time saying their name, but I'm going to try my best. I chose Masato Hagawara. I'm so sorry if I said that wrong. He plays Maaya in Cure from 1997. And I just find his character incredible. Very much, I would say, if you haven't seen the movie, I would maybe correlate his character to like Charles Manson. Like, he is very manipulative and there's like a quiet malevolence about his character. And he just, it's very like a subtle performance, but it's very unsettling. And I think it's the best when it comes to a supporting actor role in horror.
We all just learned something. that's why you bring Melissa on these shows, right? Okay.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Andy, what is your nomination, buddy?
Yeah. I also went with a movie that none of you would have heard of. It's called Jaws, about the shark. So I've gone with Robert Shaw, who played Quint in Jaws. And I just think, I don't even think you need the context for how he actually acts and is in real life, which is a very, like, you know, he's a West End Broadway, proper British kind of on the boards actor. And this character that he put together, which I think he gets credited with kind of co-designing, he kind of worked on it. Every movement in his physique, every line of dialogue, and we know those like behind the scenes stories of him scribbling away on the pages for the monologue and spending days trying to get that right. And yeah, just everything about him, I just love. And I was lucky enough to see his son play Quint. Well, actually play his dad in the boat. The shark is broken play. Where they kind of break down that monologue scene. It's just a whole play of the monologue and the days that they just spent on the water waiting for the shark to be fixed. I just find Robert Shaw's performance to be impeccable. Everything about him, the glance at the life jacket, which is partly Spielberg's incredible directing, is this glance towards the life jacket, which reminds him of the war. And him being stranded and bobbing up and down in the ocean and feeling very vulnerable whilst tiger sharks attacked him and his crew, and then coming out and throwing life jackets to Hooper and Brody. to keep them alive, but knowing he'll go down with his ship. And I just absolutely adore his character. And he does get poster credit. He is front and center on the poster, but we all know that he appears halfway through the movie. He sort of comes in just as the adventure part of the movie starts. And I think, yeah, supporting actor for me.
I hate to butt in here. Are we going by the rules of our last episode where horror...
IMDb is way wrong.
IMDb does not say horror. It says thriller, mystery, adventure.
Jaws,
yeah. Jaws is a horror movie.
It's a horror movie. Letterboxd says horror.
If you asked me what it was, I'd say it's an adventure thriller, which are both on the IMDb.
It's a horror movie, and I'll tell you why. Because my nomination was also Robert Shaw as Captain Quint from the movie Jaws. Oh, wow. Come on. So his whole dialogue about the Indianapolis
anarchy.
Sinking.
Yeah. Anarchy.
Right there yeah. alone. So yeah, I'm gonna agree that this is a horror movie.
It's Friday the 13th with a shark. It's a guy picking off.
I would say it's much more than that, my friend.
It is much more than that, but still in the horror realm.
And I would like to point out that I also nominated Robert Shaw.
I'll be putting a formal protest with the governing body of the podcast universe. Listen, if this movie was considered for horror, he would also be my choice, but it never came across my mind because while it has horror elements, it is not a pure horror film. And I checked IMDb, horror was not on there. I was going by the rules that we established last episode. So if we are going to say this is a horror movie, then I will even give my pick and agree it's Robert Shaw. But I want an asterisk.
Yeah, I think IMDb is also full of shit, by the way. But I think Letterboxd is my Bible, and that says horror, and that's good enough for me. Melissa, actually, what would you say, given that your pick is, not so to speak, dead in the water?
Yeah.
Would you consider Jaws to be a horror film?
Yes, considering it terrified the nation and would people would not go into the water after watching this movie, I would say it's a horror movie.
Great. Interesting. I guess I'm a little more old school. I'm more of the Blockbuster kind of guy. If I went to Blockbuster, where would Jaws be? Action adventure.
It
would
Jaws never was be the first horror. Blockbuster movie.
I know.
That is the definition of a Blockbuster.
No, the Blockbuster store.
Yeah, he means going
when
into
I went to a video store to rent my VHS in the 90s, Jaws and Action Adventure was never in horror, especially when you get to Jaws 4. That was in comedy. So I'm just going to say, I'll just say my guy, since, if Robert Shaw is acceptable, then he's going to win. I mean, he's amazing. He's one of the best things in that movie. I don't think he should be able to run in this race, but I'm outvoted. I understand. I was going to say Keith David in The Thing, because I think he gives a very understated, great performance. And he has to go toe-to-toe with Kurt Russell. In that last scene, he holds his own. And he becomes one of the most memorable people in that film. And his performance was the beginning of Keith David, who goes on to work with John Carpenter. Another movie I considered was They Live, but I went with The Thing because I think Keith David just brings so much to that movie. After rewatch, it's something every time I watch it over and over again, I like his character more and more. And I think that last scene is just a great scene. So, but Robert Shaw looks like he's going to win it, even though it's not a horror movie.
Well, let's do a quick vote. Benny, you're obviously on board. Andy, you're on board. I'm on board. Melissa, you're on board.
I'm on board. Yeah.
Sorry, JT.
I understand.
I'm stuck it. Robert Shaw wins best supporting actor.
Okay. I agree. Like if I was considering this a horror movie, 100% is Robert Shaw. I wouldn't even argue. I just argue the category.
You don't think that a giant shark that is eating people on a small Nantucket island. And like they actually have to go out. I'm sorry. How do you not consider it a horror movie? This is an adventure movie?
Once they go on that boat, it becomes an adventure film. The first half is like a horror thriller, more thriller than horror. When I watched The Lord of the Rings and they're being chased by the ring guys with their cloaks, I was scared, but I didn't consider that a horror movie. It has elements of horror in it. Don't get me wrong, but a straight up horror movie. Again, Blockbuster Video Store. It would not be in the horror section.
Robert Shaw, here's your Oscar for best supporting actor in a horror movie.
Melissa, can you remind us what your one is? Because I like your
Mamaya is the character, and it's from Cure. What? And I would just C-U-R-E. And I would just argue...
Oh, Cure. Oh, sorry. It's the
Cure, actual. Yeah.
Oh, would, yeah, you have told me about that movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good. I would just argue, I guess, like, with all of my acting picks, I kind of went with, like, they were, like, embodying, like, a horror performance as well. Because, like, I would say Robert Shaw isn't necessarily scary. This guy's scary, and you get pissed off every time he comes on screen. You're like, this motherfucker. Is it okay to swear?
Of course.
Yes. Okay.
I'm with you, Melissa. That's a good choice.
Cool.
Let's move on to Best Supporting Actress. And Andy, why don't you lead us off with your nomination?
Yeah, this had the longest list for me. I have so many picks. I'm going to go with Toni Collette from Sixth Sense. And particularly one scene that I watch all the time. Like anytime I need to feel something or I'm kind of at odds with my feelings and I need to kind of find a way out, I watch this scene, and it's the scene with her and Cole in the car when he tells her the truth. And it's this thing that she does that I've never seen an actress do before or since. And it's when you're feeling emotional, and sometimes when you're trying to resist the pain of upset and you get that thing in your throat and it really kind of aches, she swallows that down before talking to him. And I find that moment to be so moving. And I don't know if you guys can picture that scene with her. You know, there's been a bike accident and Cole decides to tell her the truth about grandma and how she takes the butterfly pendant. And when she starts to realize that Cole's telling the truth and that he really does have a connection to the dead. And he says, what was she proud of? Or it was always, or something like, you asked her something at her grave and she said always. And the question that she had asked at the grave was, were you proud of me? And when she tries to tell Cole that, it gets stuck in her throat and she kind of does that. And I find that to be an unbelievable thing for an actress to decide to do. We know that M. Night Shyamalan does not always get performances out of his characters, right, actors. I believe it was Toni Collette that decided that this would need to be swallowed. The pain and emotion would need to be swallowed down in order to deliver that dialogue next. And yeah, I go and watch that scene all the time. But throughout, I mean, she's dealing with the fact that there's something going wrong with her son. I now have a son. If something was going on with him and I couldn't understand what it was, that confusion that she portrays in the movie, it kills me. She just wants to know. She's desperate. She just has no idea how to help him. And it's so sad. Yeah, so I love her in that.
Great nomination. Benny, you're up, Slugger. Who's your Best Supporting Actress nomination?
So I'm going with a performance I think is one of the most iconic performances in a horror movie. It's just one of the all-time great performances by a child actor. And it also still makes you uncomfortable to watch it, even though it's like, 40, 50 years old now, and that's Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Mm.
So I think she's excellent as the possessed child. And if you watch it today, it still makes you a little like, it makes you a little uncomfortable, like some of the things she's saying and doing in that role. And so I think it's just a performance that lives on. And like I said, still to this day, it kind of creeps me out when I watch it.
That's a solid nomination.
It was on my list as well. Yeah.
JT, your nomination.
I'm on the same mind of Benny here. I have Linda Blair for The Exorcist. I looked at a lot of different nominees. I think the longevity definitely has to weigh in on here. And I just rewatched it this past Halloween. It's an amazing film. And she gives a crazy good performance for a woman or a young girl of her age. And she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress at the Oscars that year. And I don't know who she lost to, but they probably didn't give it to her because, you know, she's a child. She'll have plenty of years to try to win another one. But yeah, the movie holds up. And a lot of the reason the movie holds up is not just the great direction, acting and writing. It's her performance as the Exorcist kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got two for Linda Blair. So my nomination, I went with Piper Laurie from 1976 as Carrie. She plays Margaret White, Carrie's mom. I believe she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for her portrayal in this.
Yes, she was.
I earlier today, like, watched a YouTube interview where she was like, I actually thought the role was like satire. She said, so I played it way over the top. And she goes, I was laughing after takes. The cast was laughing after takes. But then it goes down and she's just this awful, awful, horrendous woman. And she plays it to perfection. So I like the Linda Blair. Boy, I like the Toni Collette. I feel like Toni Collette for me might show up later. But for this one, my nominee is Piper Laurie for Brian De Palma's Carrie. Melissa, how about you?
It's funny you say that, because that is what I went with as well.
Yes!
As Piper Laurie from Carrie. I love The Exorcist, like, a lot. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I guess I view that performance more as a leading role, but I guess if it was nominated as a supporting, that makes sense. But so I didn't even think about it, because I view it more of, as a leading role, I guess. But yeah, no, I went with Piper Laurie, because I just think she is terrifying, and definitely the religious aspect of it all adds to it. And she's just like, the psychological damage that she like has over Carrie is just, it's really intense. And yeah, it's a very iconic performance. And yeah, that's why
Andy is the odd man out here. He's gonna be the tiebreaker, unless he wants to really fight for Toni Collette.
No, I do. I do think Toni Collette's in with a chance of an Oscar tonight. Linda Blair is my backup choice, so I have really little choice but to select that one. And actually, Lee J. Cobb was on my backup list for Best Supporting Actor for The Exorcist, because his scene with Ellen Burstyn, when they both know what's going on and they don't reveal it, is, go and watch that on YouTube, that like 4-minute scene of them just sort of teasing each other out. It's fucking unbelievable. I have to go with Linda Blair if I have to pick between you guys, because although I do love Carrie, Linda Blair was like my backup choice.
Nice. That's solid. So
no one's gonna disagree.
What's that?
Is Linda Blair.
I feel like nobody's gonna be upset that one won.
So I'm kind of in the same boat with Melissa, like, but I guess when it comes to like billing purposes, like at the time, she probably wasn't a top build. She's probably like fourth or fifth on that cast list. So that makes sense that she would be.
When was the last time you saw the movie, Moose?
We reviewed the newest Exorcist and I had watched it maybe like 3 or 4 weeks before that. So in the last 4 months or so.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I watched it for the 50th. So we've watched it recently. I do think it's Ellen Burstyn's movie. It feels like a mum's movie.
I agree.
But yeah, I think it's a scene-stealing kind of thing from Linda Blair, isn't it? Like, it's just so in your face every time. But also her sweet scenes are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Even non-demon Linda Blair, she's so good. So deserving.
Okay, so Linda Blair wins Best Supporting Actress. Congratulations, Linda. Well done. Up next is our Best Creature/Villain. Now, this one's going to be tricky, because I interpreted this as kind of a little bit of both. So I'm curious to see everybody's nominations. But Benny, since we're going round table, it kicks off with you, buddy. Who is your Best Creature/Villain?
All right, so I didn't go super creative with this, and I'm going with probably my favorite horror movie villain of all time, which is Freddy Krueger. And this is the reason that I picked Freddy, even though it's kind of a generic choice. He is a pedophile whose only enjoyment is hunting down and killing children. But he's such an engaging character. By the end of the film series, you're kind of cheering for him to kill off the kids. And he is the only character in history with that background and with that skill set that has been able to get people to cheer for him by the end of the series. So, I mean, you can maybe contribute that to Robert Englund's performance, you know, over the years. But I don't care. The fact that you can make that character into sort of this weird anti-hero, to me, he becomes one of the most iconic villains of all time. And it's still, like, the later Freddy films, I think, are some of the funnest horror movies ever made.
Nomination for Freddy Krueger on the board. JT, who is your nomination for best creature slash villain?
Me and Ben here, Sympatico, baby. I'm going Freddy Krueger for the whole Nightmare series. I mean, here's the thing. Yes, I'll go, you know, it's the original Nightmare. He started off as a horrifying, scary villain. And then slowly became like a comedic element to it, where it's like he's just kind of like an MTV VJ of mass murder. It was going to make you laugh, have a great time. He's throwing kids in video games. At one point, he's the Wicked Witch of the West and Freddy's dead. And then he brings it all the way back with a new Nightmare, Wes Craven's kind of reboot of the franchise. And he was horrifying again. So for me, to go all that way to like a horrifying villain that was introduced in Nightmare to like this comedic, you know, MTV generation, you know, horror slasher, back to the horror element when you get him in New Nightmare. I just think he's one of the goats. I think, you know, Michael Myers and Jason are the other two goats probably, but they don't say a damn thing. This guy actually has to give a performance, not just the physical, but with actual words. So I went Freddy Krueger.
My nomination is probably me working out some deep-seated fears. I'm 6.5 feet tall and weigh 220 pounds. So there's not much that does scare me, but God damn it, does Pennywise the clown scare the living crap out of me. Clowns in general are my like biggest fear. Like clowns are just freaky. They scare the crap out of me. And then let alone this like demon, you know, clown that can turn into a giant spider that can shapeshift, that comes from the void, that it declares itself the eater of worlds, that feeds on little children. Like, all of that just horrifies me, keeps me up at night. And yeah, I tortured myself as a child and watched the Tim Curry version of it. And then I tortured myself again last year as an adult and watched it and still was completely scared. It's not as iconic as like a Freddy Krueger, but just the fact that like what Pennywise is just the basic manifestation of evil. And the fact that he simply chooses to scare little children because they taste better to him is horrifying to me. So I'm going to give it to Pennywise the clown. How about you, Melissa?
Well, fun fact, I have dressed up as Pennywise for Halloween before. So love that pick. And it was very fun scaring people specifically around my office. It was like carrying a balloon. Anyways, but I am with JTE and Benny. I also went with Freddy Krueger. I just think the concept of invading your dreams and turning them into your nightmares and just being able to kill you in your dreams, that concept is like, I don't feel like it's been topped since Freddy Krueger. And and Robert Englund's performance is incredible with the comedy and the horror kind of combined. I love this franchise. I just pretend that the 2010 one does not exist.
And that was the 2010. Was that Jackie Earle Haley?
Yeah.
Yep.
Not good, huh?
No. In my opinion.
You're right. It was awful. Rooney Mara. It was a really bad movie.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, your nomination, sir.
Okay, so I've gone to the other side of the slash on the creature villain slash. Here we go. So I went for, obviously outweighed by Freddy, who is great. But I went for H.R. Giger's Xenomorph. I think it's just one of the most beautiful sort of gothic, slick. It's obviously there are three forms of it, but I am talking about the upright version. There are shots in all the Alien movies even the bad ones, that creep me out. And I guess it got so into me that even playing like Alien Isolation, the video game, I just couldn't. I haven't never completed the game. I've had to watch people play it and finish it because I put myself in a locker the first time I kind of saw him and never went out. And that was it. That was the game for me. I kind of put the controller down and I'm cool. You know, I've seen the game. Thanks. And really, really creepy. The long sort of snaking tail, the double jaws, Just everything about that design. In the first one, the chains hanging down, you don't know the first time you watch it that one of them's him just hanging there and just like swinging back and forth, ready to kill. And then in the second one, all the walls are filled with them. You have no idea. On rewatch, you can look out for it. Just the creepiest, but coolest thing. One of the, you know, if I see a xenomorph in a museum, like a film museum or something like that, I just spend hours just like taking in all the detail. So, my favorite creature.
It's a good nomination. But sadly, Andy, I think you and I are outvoted, and I think Freddy Krueger is going home tonight with the Best Creature/Villain Oscar Award. Congratulations, yeah. Freddy. Specifically the Robert Englund.
Thank you. Freddy Krueger. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go into, since it kind of fits with the Best Creature/Villain, we're going to go with the Best Kill in horror movies. This one should be interesting because this is kind of tapping into all of our dark, sadistic horror movie loves. JT, you're kicking us off. Who is your Oscar nominee for Best Kill?
This is a tough category. For me, I think it comes down to what one stuck with you throughout all the years. And I'm going back to Freddy Krueger. This death scene in the Nightmare on Elm Street where the girl is literally crawling on the ceiling as she's being cut up by Freddy and her boyfriend is just watching in horror. And there's even a great shot where the camera's directly behind him and he's reaching out and you see her. That scene like scarred me as a child. And it's the first scene that came to my mind when I heard about this category. So it still holds up today. You know, it's because a lot of it is about what you're not seeing. And the fact that they use that camera trick of her like crawling on the ceiling, it just always stuck with me. So I went with the ceiling death scene in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nice. Okay. I went with kind of a more recent watch for me. And I don't know if this is probably sick of me to say, but I enjoyed these kills. It's actually an entire family that dies at the end of this movie. And it is the Les Domas family from Ready or Not. So the end of the movie, they do not kill Samara Weaving's character and therefore are then entirely wiped out. And it's just like, it's so quick and so violent and they all just explode and it's just one after the other. And then the final one is her then husband at that point in time. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And you're just like, just do it. And he explodes. And then a second later you see, you know, the devil basically, and he kind of gives like a little nod to Samara Weaving's character. I enjoyed Ready or Not so much. I thought that was like such like an unexpected, but like, yes, they got what they deserved at the end of it. So my nomination is for the Les Domas family from Ready or Not.
Nice.
Melissa, how about you?
Great scenes.
Yeah, I almost went with a Nightmare on Elm Street kill, but I was trying to like have not repeat picks with my picks. So I went with something else. And I also went with something more recent. And I kind of went with like maybe the most kill, which is the bedroom kill of Allie in Terrifier 2. This scene is beyond gory. It's very unsettling. It's very brutal. But I think it's the best. It's very visceral and it's gory. And if you're going to kill somebody, it's going to be gory and bloody. And this scene has it. And some.
If your pick is available on Tubi, you know it is a good thing.
There you go.
Andy, how about you? What is your nomination for Best Kill?
I should say, Melissa, I had the Terrifier clown as my backup villain. Nice. After Xenomorph, yes, scary. And also, I did make a note. I do want people to check this out because it's such an unwatched thing. But if we were doing the Emmys horror, the Channel Zero Tooth Monster is unbelievably terrifying. So yeah, go and watch that. Anyway, Best Kill, massive list here to pick from. And I also don't want to say the kind of same movie, but I think it's the most iconic. So my backup choice is Todd from Final Destination. The bathtub is unbelievable, right? But my pick, although it's from the same movie, is Kane's chestburster scene. It's just unbelievable. We all have seen it. It's unbelievable. That first like boom, that first like punch out where you hear the crack and then the screaming. Ah, just beautiful. Yeah, really well acted.
True that they didn't really brief the rest of the cast as to what that scene was going to entail? And so a lot of what happening, they were kind of experiencing for the first time.
It's been slightly debunked that they see the setup of the shot and they know what's going to happen. It was the reverse shot and how much. So the reverse shot, like John Hurt is not there. They're just filming the reaction and they're just going to spray. But it's just like something happens, you scream. But what they didn't expect was a blood splatter.
Oh, okay.
So on the main table shot, they obviously knew that they saw the setup. They saw the puppeteer underneath with the early version of the Xenomorph. But it was the reverse shot in which nothing's happening here. It's just like 3, 2, 1, react. And they didn't expect to be sprayed with blood in the face, I think.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, sounds like we're about to have a debate here because we've all thrown out different nominations. So let's get to this.
I'm not giving my nomination.
Benny didn't give his.
Didn't we? I'm so sorry, Benny. I totally skipped you.
It's all good, man.
Please tell me it's the Les Dumas family. So,
it is not. I was going with one of the other 80s horror icons. And can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going with the very last scene in the original Friday the 13th, where Jason pops up out of the water after you think the entire movie is over. I think it's one of the most important kills in the history of cinema because, one, it's like the first real twist ending where you think the movie's over and then, bam, the villain's really still there, you know, in sort of modern horror movies. And it also launched 30 years of movies. So to me, it's one of the most important little scenes. And it's also like freaking terrifying, like when you're a kid and with that messed up face when he pops out of the water. So it's the total package. It's historically significant and it's scary as fuck.
All right. Well, now we've got a debate on our hands.
So I can't say I've seen Terrifier 2. But has anybody seen Terrifier 2 besides?
Yes, it's totally fucked. I mean,
there's bleach, there's salt. Like he just like tears this girl apart. It's really intense.
But
yeah,
it is a glorious scene.
Is it in a comedic effect in some way?
Yeah, it's almost to a level of camp, I would say. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's gory for sure.
Interesting.
Sorry, Melissa, the carry arm through the grave at the end predates the Friday the 13th reveal.
That's a good point.
Well, and I don't mean to pick on Benny, but it's actually not a kill because Alice is in the second movie.
Oh, snap!
Fuck.
Sorry.
Fine.
Friday the 13th, out.
Ouch!
My vote is for that kill as the best kill. Yes. Melissa taking Benny down. That's my favorite kill.
Sorry, it's been a few years.
No, you're good. Well, Alice's kill in the second one is really cool. It's with the ice pick. So, I mean.
And folks, if you're wondering why we asked Melissa and Andy to come on, it's because these guys are horror experts. They know this. Just killing Benny's hopes at this Oscar.
Sorry.
I've seen Alien and Jaws. That's it.
I'll tell you where my head's at with these categories. So for me, Terrifier 2, I haven't seen it, so I can't really talk too much. So I have to trust you. I know that movie's reputation is for being over the top gory. Ready or Not was a really good movie. And that was a very comedic death. Like it's a comedic moment, sure. But it is very fun. So I don't mind that. For me, though, I think if you're asking me, like, what would I vote for besides mine, it would probably be Alien, the chest burster scene. That is an amazing scene. It's iconic. It's horrifying the first time you see it. It's hard to compare that to my scene because they're both, you know, one's from like 70s, one's from 80s. Mine is more in the tradition of a slasher film that's kind of, you know, doing something a little creative as far as like filmmaking, but so is the chest burster scene because nobody's ever seen anything like that. So for me, like obviously I love my choice, but my 1B would probably go to Andy for the chest burster.
Yeah, and I would agree. Like, I would probably go for the alien pick because, to me, I think you chose the wrong Nightmare on Elm Street.
Because
my secondary pick would have been Glenn with the blood gusher, like in the bed. Okay. I just think that kills.
That's a great scene. That would have been mine if I went Nightmare. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so too.
So Alien.
I'm gonna go with Alien too.
Alien. Yeah.
Alien wins. Okay. So chest burster scene. Let me put this down so I have a list.
I thought, Melissa, you'd go with something from House, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I should, because of the piano,
Up later.
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, you're fine.
Well, spoiler, House 2 will be my best picture now.
I love House 2, man.
I'm joking, but I love House 2.
Well, we'll do a quick recap of our round one winners. Best Supporting Actor goes to Robert Shaw for Jaws. Best Supporting Actress goes to Linda Blair for The Exorcist. Best Creature / Villain goes to Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street. And Best Kill goes to that son of a bitch chestburster from Alien. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have Scariest Moment, Special Effects, Best Screenplay, and Best Score. Stick around.
Halloween. I think he'll come back. Halloween, the night he came home. Rated R. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, Friday the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday the 13th, rated R. The kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them. Nightmare on Elm Street.
No! Stop!
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails, no one will survive.
Ah! Help me, please!
Wes Craven's Nightmare on Elm Street, rated R.
Welcome back, and we're going to jump right back into it, folks, with our scariest moment in a horror movie. To kick us off, we're going to go right back to Melissa Woody. I'm sure that this is going to be a good one.
I hope so. I will say, out of all of the categories, I probably struggled with this one the most. I don't know.
Nothing scares you?
Yeah, nothing really scares me. And like weird things do, or like non-horror movies almost scare me more with like certain scenes. Anyways, but I went with the classic. I went with The Shining, and I went specifically with the room 237 bathroom scene. I think it has to do with the music for sure. I think the music is just like really intense during this scene with the old woman, or the young woman, turning into the old decrepit woman. And I think this is when Jack is very much like getting possessed by the hope. Like, I feel like this is like the moment where like the movie kind of turns. And yeah, there's just like a lot of dread and the eerie atmosphere of it all. Yeah, this it creeps me out for sure. You don't really want to go in the bathroom after that scene.
So Andy, your nomination.
That is a great scene. So this one was tough because I wasn't sure whether to go with like movie moment that sort of changed the way that I do things. So like, for example, we all know the Final Destination 2 highway pile up. No one drives behind lumbar lorries anymore because of that. I don't dive into popcorn that's been left around because of arachnophobia, stuff like that, right? So I didn't know if to go with something like that, and I didn't. And then you've got jump scare moments like Ben Gardner's boat from Jaws, the head popping out, is still the best jump scare for me in cinema history, because it's just that offbeat of John Williams striking his orchestra with the head. They're off timing. It's very weird, but it always makes me jump. But the scene that I went with is more of a sequence, because I thought it'd be more fun. And it's the final attic scene in Wreck with the girl, the possessed girl, with her long, dangly, swingy arms and hammering the walls. And oh, it was just scared the shit out of me. Melissa knows the story, but for context, I watched Wreck thinking it was a genuine documentary because the service that I watched it on put that it was a television program about people that work through the night. So it was about firehouses and what they get up to through the night, and that's what I was watching. And all of a sudden, they got quarantined in this building. I had no idea what was going on. It wasn't a horror movie when I turned it on. So those kind of things, you know, like people slipping Blair Witch to people and not realizing in 2000 that it was 99 that it was a horror movie. It was kind of like I just got wrapped up in Wreck. And that final moment, the final scene of the girl walking around the apartment and them hiding from her is just, you can go and watch that clipped out on YouTube and you just find it as enjoyable as the context of watching the whole thing. It's so scary. That's my pick.
Wreck is on the board. Benny. Your nomination.
All right. So I went back and forth between two scenes. And so in order not to have the same movie be nominated for like four awards, I'm going with a scene from a movie that ends up not being a very good movie. But it's Signs, M. Night Shyamalan's and Mel Gibson's movie. Like the movie has a great beginning, you know, and there's up to a point where the alien just kind of walks past these sliding doors. There's no little preamble or anything, but like when you see it, you're like, oh, fuck, you know, and it's one of the last handful of times I remember like feeling like genuinely startled or like scared during a movie for any moment. There's probably only been three or four since I was a teenager that really got me. And that one really got me. And that's one of my great regrets in cinematic history is that movie didn't stick the landing because like right up through that scene, it's building towards being one of the great horror movies, and then it kind of falls off a cliff. But man, that scene is worth that movie.
That's the score. that is an unbelievable moment, and I reckon the James Newton Howard strike of the chord is almost an homage to Ben Gardner's Spoke from Jaws, because he chooses a very specific time as the alien walks past to punch on the orchestra, and it's not the moment you see it; it's just after. And it's the visual, your eyes see it first and your ears catch it in the same way that sound waves work. And I think that makes it scarier. And that's why that jump scare holds up in the same way as Ben Gardner's Boat. But I love that pick.
I love that pick too. So I had filmed a Schmodown promotion that ended up never being aired. It was right when they like stopped like editing our promotions and just used like extra footage of us. And it was like, I had my like nieces and nephews and they were all at the window and they were like, it's behind. And then I just walked out and did the like Signs moment myself. But damn, I forgot how freaking scary that was. Yeah. That's a good pick. Good pick, Benny. JT, how about you? What's your scariest moment?
I'm kind of like most of here. I grew up watching horror movies at a very young age and I just always able to know they weren't real. And so I very rarely got scared from a horror movie. So I'll go with a scene that just kind of made me go, holy shit. Now, before I even give you my answer, my true answer, but it's not a horror film, is the abduction scene from Fire in the Sky. One of the most horrifying sequences in any movie.
Right.
But that's not even, it's a horror film. It's considered a fantasy sci-fi drama, so I'm not going to go there.
That's a good one, too.
I'm going to go with John Carpenter's The Thing. When The Thing finally reveals itself, he goes to put the defibrillators on his chest. And a sequence of events that I don't think I can compare to any other movie begins at that moment. His arms are chopped off. His stomach turns into a mouth. His head detaches from its body in the most gruesome way possible. The head becomes like some sort of humanoid spider creature. There's a flamethrower going off. There's green goo everywhere. It is absolutely horrifying, even to this day. Some of the best special effects you'll ever see, practical effects in any movie, period. So that is a movie, like, even though I wasn't, you know, it's hard to scare me. That is one of those movies where I was like, holy shit, what is happening right now? And there's probably three other scenes in The Thing, like the blood test scene, that I think is a great suspenseful scene. But that first time The Thing reveals itself with a human is horrifying and terrifying. So I went with that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I gotta ask Melissa and JT, like, horror movies scare the shit out of me. Like, this is my least favorite genre when it comes to movies, because I am a huge chicken. So if these things don't scare you, do like scenes from The Notebook, does that scare you guys? Like, is it just like cross programming? Like,
well, for me, it's like Runaway Bride, My Best Friend's Wedding. Those are the ones that really scare me.
No, I don't know. It just takes a lot to scare me.
From a very young age, I was very much aware I was watching a movie, and I just never was like, oh, that's cool. It's because like my parents gave me free rein to rent any R-rated horror movie I wanted, basically, as long as it didn't have a lot of nudity, I was allowed to rent it. I've seen so many bad and good horror movies, but I was desensitized is the word.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So this one, I went with one that probably gave me the biggest jump scare. And it's kind of a recent watch for me. This movie came out in 2005. It's called The Descent. And I watched it maybe 6 months ago. And I wasn't quite, I knew that there was going to be like some sort of creatures, but I wasn't quite prepared for like these like humanoid type creature reveals. And the way that it is revealed, just, I jumped like off of the couch, walked outside, because I was like, nope. Nope, like, oh, I was so freaking scared from that moment. So it's not quite as iconic as some of the moments that you guys are talking about, but I did go from personal experience that I may have shat myself having witnessed that, and I definitely had to walk outside to, like, take a moment. It didn't help that, like, my wife wasn't in town, and I was on my own in the house, and I was like, oh, God, like, how am I going to survive the night? But, yeah, that is, I believe, Neil Marshall directed The Descent. Yeah, that's my scariest nomination.
Nice.
Okay, well, we all have kind of differing moments, but they're all fairly good. I'm going to take mine out of the running because, let's be honest, it's not as iconic as some of the moments that you guys are talking about here.
Descent is great, and also a great twist in one of the versions of the ending as well.
I think you're selling yourself short, because actually, out of everyone, I would say I would vote for probably Andy or Moose's, because those actually do kind of scare me, and I forgot about them because I probably blocked them out of my head. Yeah, The Descent I find absolutely terrifying. It's very claustrophobic, and like, yes, and it's all women too, so it's just yeah, it's freaky. And then yeah, Wreck, I think it's a great, like, I don't really love found footage. I just, that's not a subgenre that I love, but I think Wreck is a really, really well done found footage style movie, and it's very effective, especially the ending. So,
and yeah, I'm with you guys. If I have to pick another one on this list, I'm going with The Descent. That movie makes me uncomfortable to watch it. I love it, but it's scary. So, and this is not like the most iconic moment, it's the scariest. And so out of the others on the list, to me, that's the scariest one.
So I don't think I'd go. I think The Descent is a great movie, and I'm glad it's kind of been nominated. Good for The Descent, because it's a British movie. That's really cool, and it has a really cool. One of the endings is a really good twist. But I don't actually find one of the moments in The Descent to be particularly scary. Like, there is no scary moment in the movie for me. I just find it to be a great horror movie. Actually, the scariest moment for me is when that girl does the standing split at the start to say good morning to people. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Put your leg down, you dickhead. So weird. Good morning! Like this. Like, what are you doing? With her leg in the air. Okay. Remind me what we're dealing with here for picks.
Yeah, Benny's, to me, kind of feels like a jump scare. It's like everything, they're watching TV, boom, a little thing goes by, you're like, oh. Then the scene carries on to the next scene. It's so short, it's hard for me to... It feels more like best jump scare than best overall scary moment or scene.
Yeah, I kind of am on that because I would have... In another world, we'd have done this and there would have been best jump scare and scariest moment. And I would have gone with Ben Gardner's Boat for the jump scare. Signs is a great pick. And I also have to give kudos because... The reason that moment works so well is because it cuts back to Joaquin Phoenix's reaction, and he's so good. And him coming up to the TV, kind of clutching his mouth like that, is you need the reaction from a really strong performer in order to sell it, and that's really good. And he was on my shortlist for best supporting actor for Signs. So, JT, what was your one again? I'm forgetting.
Thing. The scene, the thing where the head detaches, the stomach. It's. I'll even take myself out if you guys want to, because it is the more holy shit moment.
I think there's another category that belongs in. See?
Yeah, I agree.
I know what category you're talking about, and I have another movie that I put in that category. But I understand. Trust me, it's between those two, so I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, unfortunately, I'm going to reveal it. I've never seen Signs. I don't know why. I just haven't. But I know what scene you're talking about, but I just feel like I can't really speak to it. And then, yeah, for The Thing, I don't find it scary. I find it really, like...
impressive? Maybe
another category.
Melissa yeah, totally. And I are too desensitized. Yeah. What people, you know, what people have nightmares about, we daydream about, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, having seen all of the nominated scariest moments, I think we...
It's hard also because I've seen Quarantine, but I have not seen Wreck.
Quarantine is dog shit.
I know. So I have not gone and watched Wreck, which is the original.
Okay, Wreck is the scariest of the ones nominated, I think.
There's like five Wrecks out there. Isn't there like five?
The Shining.
The Shining, yeah. The Shining one is so good as well. We haven't even talked about it.
The beautiful woman who turns into like...
Yeah, yeah, it's so good. The problem with The Shining is the parody in Ready Player One has ruined it for me a little bit, no? Like, it's just...
I've never seen it.
It's not fair that they picked... Because in the book, it's not The Shining.
What was Melissa's choice again?
The Shining, Room 237. Yeah.
That would probably be my pick as of right now.
I think it is like the scare... Yeah, I think it is like the most iconic. Wreck is kind of an unwatched...
walks up and all you see is a shower curtain, that is a pretty horrifying moment. And then the reveal is just as horrifying as the build-up. Yeah. So
and talk about practical effects, I assume the skin is disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd lean Melissa's way, to be honest.
As would all
everybody good with
I'll
the
concede
shining?
To the Shining. Yep.
All right. The Shining shower scene.
Cool.
Well done, Melissa. That was a good choice.
Great pick. Great pick. So now we kind of all alluded to it. I'm going to kick off this one. Best special effects. Come on. It's The Thing. Like, I don't think that there's ever been like more practical use of special effects when it comes to like visually creating just monsters and these aliens or this parasite, whatever you want to call it.
Are we talking a specific scene? Like, are you just talking about the movie overall? Or is there
the movie overall is impressive? Like, it still holds up to this day. This movie is almost 40 years old and it holds up to this day. So I think John Carpenter, that's my nomination. The Thing, those creatures are horrifying. Horrifying. So when you had mentioned the scariest moment as being, you know, when the mouth opens up from The Thing, all I could picture was just like the like practical effects being used in that. And this was the one category where I didn't have more than one nomination. This was it for me as far as I was concerned. So my nomination for special effects is The Thing. Andy, how about you?
Yeah, if Jaws was the movie that stopped people going into the water, The Thing was the movie that I just let people die now. I don't do CPR on anyone. They're done. They're done.
I thought you were going to say The Thing is the movie that stopped people from becoming a scientist and going to Antarctica. I was like, how many people do you know?
No, I don't have the opportunity to give CPR much, but I don't know if I would. Who knows? The thing about The Thing is I think I saw The Thing way young, and then I saw The Faculty like a lot because it was like in my kind of, you know, informative years, and then you go back and you realize this a crap remake of it or whatever. No, The Thing does hold up. So I really struggled with special effects because all of my favorite special effects are in movies that aren't horror movies. They're horror moments in movies, and they actually got brought up on your action Oscars, like T2, not a horror but great special effects in a horror kind of adjacent film. The T-Rex scene from Jurassic Park, not a horror film but a great horror moment with great effects, and you guys talked about that already. So though, but I went with one that I just thought, it's recency bias a little bit. I mean, very, very recency bias. But because I hadn't I went to the IMAX to see it, and I hadn't felt scale like that in any of the versions of this kind of movie ever, I think. Not just since a particular time, but ever. And that's Godzilla Minus One, just feeling the scale of that monster and knowing, or the context of knowing how little budget there was. When you see shots of that, and when, you know, when it was the special effects package was being put together for the Oscars, which obviously then went on and won, just to see how they did it and how sort of raw and, you know, old school those, even though it was like, you know, blue screens and stuff like that, it was old school for now. I just found that to be mega, the way that it kind of impacted me in the IMAX to feel the scale of this giant thing. I never really felt the weight of Godzilla before, for this movie.
Godzilla Minus One getting a nomination. Benny, how about you?
So I thought about Godzilla Minus One because everyone knows my unabashed love for that movie. Best movie of last year by far. But I'm going with a movie that I think is the most influential, and that's 1933's King Kong. Like, King Kong is coming up on 100 years old. And, like, if you watch that movie, it's very dated. But, like, the special effects in that movie as opposed to something in the early 80s to now, there's not that much of a gap. Like, there's a bigger gap over the last 30 years than there were 100 years ago. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I got you, yeah.
But, and anyway, so I think what it did for its time was really amazing. Like, we talk about feeling like scale for the Godzilla Minus One. That's the original giant monster movie. That's the original movie to give scale and scope. And, like, I don't know. I still like some of the sets from the original King Kong. They're dated. But, like, you know, the wall where they go up to the island to meet King Kong, that's still impressive looking 100 years later, man. And so, for me, King Kong, the original.
So, are we calling Godzilla and King Kong horror movies?
Yes, they are.
What is happening right now?
Well,
what Twilight Zone episode am I in?
Okay, but, and it, like, I understand that because, like, I would consider Godzilla Minus One, like, a horror movie because Godzilla is not teaming up with the humans to stop whatever.
Just
because
there's horrifying moments in a movie does not make it a horror movie.
No, but it also might. It's, I mean, it's IMDb monster horror, supernatural horror,
boom,
and horror. Okay. So three horror genres.
I think we all agree Melissa's one of the experts here. Melissa?
I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't really weigh in.
Too scary for Melissa.
Have you seen any Godzilla movie?
No, I really want to see it. I just haven't seen it yet.
But we're going to allow King Kong and Godzilla the nominations.
Okay.
I mean, hey, listen, we got polar opposites. We got the oldest monster feature, and then we got the newest one. So we finally got to mention Kong and Godzilla in the same context on this show. So aside from the crappy versions that we've gotten recently, JT, your nomination.
All right. This was obviously the thing is first thing that comes to mind. But as I really kind of explored the horror movie franchise and the horror legacy, Rick Baker is one of the greats when it comes to horror special effects. And to me, American Werewolf in London did something that no horror movie did before. And that was show a transformation of a werewolf in the most horrifying, grueling, disgusting way I've ever seen. It still holds up to this day. It won the Academy Award for Best Special Effects the year it came out. It is the scene that, you watch it today and you're like, holy crap, that looks better than any CGI Wolfman movie that Joe Johnson directed, any Van Helsing movie Hugh Jackman's running around with. There has never been a better Wolfman transformation than Rick Baker's work in American Werewolf in London. And taking an iconic character like the Wolfman and doing something like that, I just think he deserved that Oscar and he deserves our Oscar today.
Wow. Thank you. Good nomination.
You've clearly never seen Teen Wolf.
Melissa, you are going to take us out. What is your nomination here?
Yeah, I went maybe with more of a personal pick here, but I don't really care. I still think it's the best. I went with the cutest horror movie you're ever going to see, which is House or Hasu from 1977. This is an art house horror movie. And I mean, they use every trick in the book, camera wise, effect wise, like it is all over the place. It's very unique. Feels out of this world, insane. And it's a great blend of like horror and fantasy and amazing practical effects. So I went with House or Hasu.
Nice. And the piano scene is very similar to the Thing CPR scene.
Totally.
the piano keys chomp and she's like lifts up, it has just wrists. Yes.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay, well, once again, we have all thrown out different nominations. There's not a consensus here. So we gotta throw in some votes here. Do we go with classic Godzilla? Do we go with classic King Kong? Do we go with It or The Thing? I don't know what they call it. I guess The Thing. House, JTE, you're weighing in first. Go.
So here's the thing. King Kong is a landmark special effect from the 1930s. Does it look cool now? Yeah. Does it hold up and look like there's an actual monkey running around? No. But for that time, it was groundbreaking. It was fantastic. Absolutely love the original King Kong. But, you know, I don't even want to call it a horror movie, but for the sakes of this podcast, I will. I think it's a great piece of history, special effect history. But I don't think the effects hold up as well as some of our other choices. I have seen House. I used to have the Criterion DVD, actually. Nice. Great effects in there. Again, a great movie for a product of its time. Really doing some real interesting things and not afraid to go crazy with it. What was yours again? Godzilla Minus One. Yeah, they just won the best special feature. But again, the thing is, like, I find Godzilla horrifying at times in that movie. But what I really walked away from that movie is the human element. And Jaws is scary, but the human element for me was the thing that stuck out more. And then
all the people were CGI and
got exactly. What was yours?
The thing.
I'll just say right now, it's a two-person race for me. It's American Werewolf in London and The Thing, two of the best special effects, you know, makeup people ever. Two iconic scenes in horror films and scenes I can pound right now and still have my jaw on the floor.
Okay. No.
Your thoughts, Benny?
I think if we're looking at something purely that holds up, you can't really judge Godzilla Minus One on it because it literally just happened. But like The Thing, I think holds up a lot better than American Werewolf in London. Like I watched both of them last summer, and like The Thing, you could re-release it with like minor touch-ups and it would still look like a very modern movie, just, you know, with a classic style. American Werewolf in London would not look like that. So, I mean, they're from the same era, but The Thing holds up a lot better. So like if everyone else is saying, okay, those are the two prime picks, I'm fine with that. But out of the two of them, I would say The Thing has stood the test of time far better.
Andy, your take.
Yeah, I think American Werewolf in London has a very, very good special effects moment, and the rest of the movie is scary in the stuff that you don't see. The Thing points the camera pretty much at all time. After a certain moment, The Thing points the camera, Carpenter points the camera at the stuff, shows off what he's able to do, and I think that even if you held American Werewolf in London against the defibrillator scene in The Thing, well, then The Thing has the dogs. There's so much more weight to the Thing. So that would knock American Werewolf out for me. And House is just is mental. So for me, it's those two. I think I don't even consider my nomination to be weighty because I couldn't find one that I really wanted to back, but I would consider The Thing and House to be the two front runners. And it's just about like, is it, you know, the most popular movie or the coda of the Oscars, you know, is it the unpopular pick, the one that, you know, the cult classic or the.
So I think The Thing wins this. Cause my 1B is The Thing. Like American London is 1A. The Thing is 1B for me. Like, they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Now, I would say I would throw my vote to The Thing, but if the caveat is if we're including House 2 along with House 1, the caterpillar dog puts the combo over the top.
Well, that's a different house movie.
It's a different house.
Yeah. I made the assumption that she was talking about the 80s house movie. She was talking about the Japanese film.
Yeah.
My fault.
No, you're good. No, I'll take myself out of the race just because I feel like it's just too unknown or whatever. But I will argue it's the most effects out of all these.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
But I'll go with The Thing because I think, out of all the choices, essentially what you were saying, Andy, is how I feel about it, is American Werewolf in London has the moment that I would probably vote for over The Thing. But overall, I guess The Thing has more.
Yeah, I feel like it's irresponsible not to vote The Thing. It's the thing that people
think,
I agree. Right?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
John Carpenter wins it for The Thing, 1982, baby. Up next, best screenplay / best story. Andy, why don't you kick us off with your nomination for best screenplay, best story?
Okay. I only had two shortlists. Oh, he's gone. Who got him? Okay. I only had two shortlisted for this, a more modern one and a more classic one. The more modern one was Get Out. I think Get Out is so layered that the more times you watch it, the more you get from it. But it's not my pick. My pick is Peter Benchley and Carl Gottlieb's script for Jaws, which it's my favorite movie ever, so whatever. But I've read the book a couple of times, and if the book got made into a movie, it wouldn't be this classic movie that it is. It was because of the additions and subtractions from Carl Gottlieb that made it so good. I would say, if any of you have read the book, the kills are very, very well written in the book, but it's the character stuff in Jaws that continues to, it has the lasting effect. The shark does not have the lasting effect in Jaws. And anytime Jaws has been, remade, so to speak, people have concentrated on the shark, and it's those quiet moments. The line where Ellen Brody is talking to Hooper about Martin being afraid of the water, and she says, it's got a medical term, isn't it? What's it called? And he just goes, drowning. My favorite comedic moment in any film. I actually laugh out loud every single time I watch Jaws, and I've watched it over 100 times easily. Just that, the script. And I also, because although it's quietly credited to Robert Shaw, I also include the Indianapolis monologue as part of that. So best screenplay to Jaws for me.
Benny?
So I struggled with this one, and I went with a movie that's a very simple script, but it launched a genre that's been going on for 50 some odd years and sort of the same formula that it set up, and it's the original Night of the Living Dead. Mm. And it sort of laid the groundwork, for all the zombie movies that we continually get. But also in and of itself, it was very subversive at its time. There were a lot of like racial undertones and things like that were included in the movie that were, for the years that it was released, was fairly subversive and very politically forward. And it didn't hit you over the head with its political message. It was weaved like right into a horror movie. So, even though that's very clearly there, it's not something that it was throwing at you. It was weaved into the movie very perfectly. And so for like its staying power and for what it did in its time, I think twofold for me, it's the best screenplay for a horror movie.
Nice. JT.
Yeah, this is a tough one. That was a great choice, Benny. I'm going with Kevin Williamson's Scream. I think this script reinvented the horror genre, took every trope and played around with it like a jigsaw puzzle, and create this whole new kind of redefined the slasher going forward. There were so many Scream type movies afterwards, but at the end of the day, the script is what made this movie so good. Wes Craven did a great job directing, but I think that script was so good, any director, you'd have to be a really bad director to mess it up, because there's just so much going. The fact that it's almost like a meta taking down, it's basically tearing down the slasher franchise and rebuilding it for a new generation. And I think I had to give it to Scream.
Nice.
Melissa, how about you? What is your nomination?
Yeah, I am a huge Ari Aster fan. I could have chosen, honestly, any of his movies. But the one I went with today is Hereditary. This is a movie I watched, and then I literally put it on again after watching it for the first time. Because I was just blown away by this movie. I think the tension is great. The characters are fantastic. I think the themes are super disturbing and also universal in a way. And this actually is a movie that scared me. And so I find this to be the best horror screenplay.
Nice.
Whew, this movie scared, like, still scares me. Not scared as in past tense. Like, I'm still, as we're speaking right now, scared of this movie. So for my nomination, I went with a more recent one that I think kind of brought horror back to being, I don't know, having fun with horror, but also getting out a great message. And that was Jordan Peele for Get Out. I mentioned it earlier. I'm not the hugest horror genre fan, and I have watched this movie probably 10 times. And when you know some of the twists, you kind of... Rewatching this movie, you kind of catch more and you see some of the like acting nuances and some of the performances. So I don't know. I think Jordan Peele is really onto something. I mean, you could say like you could honestly nominate Us. You could really kind of nominate any of his stories because he really kind of understands like modern day horror. So that was my nomination. Once again, found ourselves at an impasse here. So I will say this. Hereditary and Night of the Living Dead, I think if I were to cast a vote for either one, it would probably be one of those two. Melissa, what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Hereditary and then probably Scream because I think it takes all the horror tropes into one movie. So.
Yeah, I like Scream as a pick. You missed it, Mark, but Get Out was what I started with as my sort of second choice.
Okay.
Yeah, I said the rewatchability, like those layers in the screenplay, it got nominated for an Oscar for screenplay. Does it come down to like iconic lines? Like Hereditary has a very, very good line.
Here's one thing I will say. To me, I really like Benny's choice of Night of the Living Dead. To me, that against Scream is like the Bible and like the second Bible. Like it is the one that started a hot horror genre, the one that rewrote it.
Really? The Old Testament, New Testament, yeah, not Bible and second Bible.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, let me know where I can find the second Bible. I'd be curious to
New Testament. I don't go to church very often. I'm too busy watching horror movies. but I love Benny's pick. I love my Scream pick. I also love Hereditary. Don't get me wrong. Hereditary and Jaws to me, like it comes more like those movies. I think of the director. I don't think so much of the screenplay as much because I think Ari Aster really puts a stamp. And I think Spielberg made a miracle with that movie with his direction. Like he put that same script in a bad director's hands. And or just an average director, and it might have been a disaster. It might have been
I 100% disagree that the Indianapolis speech alone, then you've got lines like, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Robert Shaw is what makes that speech amazing by our best supporting actor winner.
Yeah, but he's not speaking in tongue. He's saying words that are written down.
I totally agree. I just think it's Robert Shaw, what he brought to that speech is what makes it so memorable, not so much the writing. That's just me. We can disagree.
No, that's fine. I don't believe it's necessarily. I think Carl Gottlieb is the genius behind Jaws. I think Spielberg would admit that he got a little lucky with Jaws. It kind of just landed in the right way. He got very lucky. It wasn't the movie that he set out to make. And they were rewriting on the day. Carl Gottlieb was on set every day rewriting just to make it work because he had to write in more character moments because the shark isn't working. And I think he made the script so good that that's what makes the movie. It's all the characters.
So you're saying you had to rewrite it daily?
Yeah, into the best, what is it, best screenplay. Not best of original, not best original screenplay.
I got you. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I know. So again, I still think when you said Scream, I was like, that's a great choice.
To me, like Scream and Night of the Living Dead were probably two of my favorite. Those would be my 1A, 1B.
Well, I just don't, what from Night of the Living Dead in terms of like screen
for me, it's like the fact that he created the zombie rules, the zombie, like he really created the rule book for what a zombie movie could be, and the fact that it has a lot of undertones about, you know, civil rights and some of the things that he's tackling. He took a story and put it through, you know, a lead character who's African-American, was pretty daring at that time. A lot of that is in the script, I just feel like. So, but again, you could also make the argument George A. Romero, great director. So it's hard. These are all good. These are all great scripts. So this is not easy.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Benny.
So the reason that I would argue for the screenplay really for Night of the Living Dead, it's not really even the horror elements in the movie. It's there are a million movies, like even if you look at like Barbie, which is not a horror movie, obviously, but it came out last year that everyone raved about. Whether you like that movie, don't like that movie or whatever, its message is not necessarily weaved into the story. It is out there, you know, it's like a giant block that in the middle of the room as you're watching the movie. This is our message. And so I think one of the hardest things in like a screenplay is when you have a political message or a social message to weave it into the story so it doesn't seem like this other entity that's just sitting in the room with you while you're watching the movie. And Night of the Living Dead has a very clear social and political message, especially for the time that it's released. But if you're not aware of it, if you're not looking for that, it doesn't feel like this other entity in the room. You're still watching a great horror movie. And then that's just weaved in seamlessly. And that's really hard to do in a screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to Get Out.
I would say considering Get Out's like the next film on my list, I think my vote would go to Benny. I think to Moose, like the layering of that film. Like I think you watch that film once, it's a really fun time. Even the second time you don't catch everything. I think it's just so well layered, and it's all in the screenplay. Yeah, that's why we keep the black mold. Oh, there's black mold down there. That's nice. Good line. Yeah. And I would have voted for Obama for a third term if I could have.
Amen.
All right. So what are we thinking? Are we going, is it between Scream and?
I would vote Scream. And then I guess between Get Out and Night of the Living Dead, I would vote Get Out. I just think Night of the Living Dead, it's great. It's iconic. But to me, it's like, just because it's the first doesn't mean it's the best. And I think Get Out takes a lot of that and makes it better, in my opinion.
So your first vote would be for Scream, Melissa?
Yeah.
Benny, what would your vote be besides yours?
Jaws.
Jaws? Moose, what would your vote be besides yours?
Scream.
And Andy?
Get Out.
I think Scream wins, because I'll stay with my original Scream. We give it to Kevin Williamson.
Up next is best score, and of course we have to kick off with Andy. Tell us, what is the best score, your best score nomination for a horror movie?
Okay, my best score, I mean, there are obviously loads of really cool ones to choose from, and this isn't like my favorite score, but it's important. This is important, and the reason it's important is because the score from this film is from actually the 1200s, or some people think it's from the sort of 600 AD, but it's from around the 1200s. And the reason it's so incredible is that the people say it's the Shining score, and it's not the Shining score. It's a piece of music called Dies Irae. It's the funeral requiem from the 1200s, a Latin piece. And it goes, this piece is from years and years ago, like, you know, 1200s. And they use it in right at the top of The Shining with a helicopter shot following the car up into the hills. And it's so juxtaposed to the movie. And it's so eerie, that opening shot. You have no idea why or what's going on. And The Shining is, The Shining must be like the 50th movie at that point to use it. It's weird that it's considered the Shining score, but it is. People still say the Shining score. If I played that, people would say it's the Shining score. But it was used in It's a Wonderful Life when he goes to commit suicide, Dies Irae plays. Even a few years before, Luke Skywalker's like, he's seeing his aunt and uncle. He sees his aunt and uncle at Dies Irae plays because they're dead. It's like, it's a death theme, and it's used throughout movie history. Lion King, Lord of the Rings, everyone uses Dies Irae, but people still attribute it to The Shining, which is why I don't think it's my favorite score, of course, and it's not even The Shining score, but just the fact that they utilize that music so well that people now attribute it to that. I thought it was important to kind of bring up and talk about. So that was my nomination.
Solid nomination.
What was the actual nomination again?
The Shining.
Okay, Shining. Okay, I just want to make sure. Got it.
God, I love having Andy on. Benny, how about you? What's your nomination, Pat?
So I'm going with a movie that I know is not the best score in the world. I'm going with Nightmare on it. I mean, sorry, Friday the 13th. Oh. Just the main theme, the
yeah.
And the reason that I'm going with that, to me, that is the most iconic horror movie score. Like, if you're saying, like, okay, if someone comes up to me and says, hum something from a horror movie, I'll go, you know, and so I don't care. I realize the rest of the movie is not the best score in the world, but I love it. So screw all y'all. That's what I'm thinking.
That's funny. And they go, dude, what are you doing? I said, hum. That's all good. That's fun. I had to do that on Settle the Score one time. I couldn't put it in the notes round. I had to put it earlier so that I could do it and it would make sense.
Nice. Melissa, how about you?
Yes.
Best score nominee.
So my favorite band of all time is Pink Floyd, and they were originally supposed to score this movie, but this other band came in and I loved it, which is Goblin, who did the score for Suspiria, 1977. I think this is a great atmosphere. It totally complements the movie with its visuals, and I love the synthesizers and just like the weird, like, I don't want to mimic it because it's a bit much, but yeah, no, this is my favorite horror score, and I actually like listen to it in my car, and I probably get weird looks, but it's okay.
Nice. That's a good pick. JT?
I don't even have a runner-up. To me, it is the Halloween score. John Carpenter, you hear that for 2 seconds, and every single person outside in this world will know exactly what movie you're talking about. Friday the 13th? Some people might not know. Shining? Some people might not know. Suspiria? A lot of people aren't going to know. You hear that Halloween theme? It is an instant recognition of what you're hearing. It is John Carpenter's very simple. Yes, play it. Rappers have used this song on their albums and have rapped to it.
Oh, rap along. It's just to be fair, if people don't know, it goes like, correct me if I'm wrong, Melissa.
For Suspiria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like main theme. Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to be fair.
I heard that. I pictured Labyrinth with David Bowie. So I don't even know what that
sounds
was.
Great to me.
I love Labyrinth. So for me, it's Halloween. I don't even have any backups. It's just Halloween.
Yeah. So I'll go. And I also additionally chose Halloween. I mean, the guy Carpenter had run out of money and couldn't afford to hire anyone to compose the music. So because he was on a budget, he did it himself. And I agree. I can instantly hear that and immediately know what franchise it's from, immediately know what movie it's from. So my second vote would be for The Shining. I think that you're absolutely right. Like, I didn't know the whole history behind that music. I knew only of like that music playing in The Shining. So that's super interesting. But yeah, I also have to agree with JTE. Halloween, I think, would be my vote.
Halloween is a far better choice than mine. I still like mine better, but Halloween's a better choice.
Halloween's the most iconic, so I'm good with it.
Gotta give it to John Carpenter. You can't leave here without an Oscar.
Well, before we take a break, maybe Andy, play us a little Halloween, since that just won the Oscar.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Not scared, are you?
Someone has taken their love of fear one step too far.
We know you're not the killer.
Solving this mystery.
Everybody's a suspect!
Is going to be murder.
Who are you?
The question is, where am I? We all go a little mad sometimes.
Scream, the new thriller from Wes Craven, rated R. 100,000 years ago, it came to our galaxy. Trapped in the wasteland of Antarctica, it could not escape. Now, it is free to become one of us. John Carpenter's The Thing, rated R.
It's strange. The deceased was killed and then pushed from your daughter's window. But nobody was in the room except your daughter.
Aaron!
Nothing could stop it. The one hope. The only hope.
Mother! Make it stop!
The Exorcist. Rated R.
And we're back, and we're back with the big four: best director, best actor, best actress, and best picture. We're going to kick off best director. I'm going to kick this one off because this movie was thrown out earlier for best screenplay by one Mr. Benny Hamlin, and I'm going to go with George Romero for Night of the Living Dead. I think that that movie can be considered one of the kind of staples, groundbreaking, first of its kind. But also because, yes, he was tackling a lot of very hard issues to be able to address in a mannerism of, you know, a horror movie about slow walking zombies. And zombies, you know, especially in these movies, you know, there's been 1,000 zombie movies at this point in time. This is the first. When you think of horror movies and when you think of like horror, like creatures, you tend to kind of come to some of the same tropes: vampires, demons, and then of course zombies. And I don't think you get a better zombie movie than the original, and that is George Romero. That's my vote for best director. Melissa, how about you? Who are you nominating?
I am nominating Michael Haneke for Funny Games, 1997. I think this movie is really intense. It's very much an ink blot kind of movie. It's kind of, I think, the audience's interpretation at the end of the day. And I think it really confronts a lot of uncomfortable truths about violence. And I just think every shot is important. And I think it was expertly directed.
Nice. Andy, how about you? Your nomination, sir.
Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Just original slasher film, twist ending, subverts a lot of expectations in the opening. He has a female character that he that isn't good, and at the time that would have been kind of weird, and then kills her off. This is like the, you know, what Scream did with Drew Barrymore, of course. Everyone knows about the shower scene, like still works for me. And also outside of the film, taking control of theaters and demanding that no one be let in after the movie starts, which at the time people would just go halfway through the movie because start times for films weren't like distributed out like they normally are here, like nowadays. So people would just wander in for the latter half of the movie and then stay to watch the first half again. But because he structured the film in such a way, he demanded no one be let in after the start of the film, thus making cinema as we know it today.
Plus, he's the first director to show a toilet on film.
Yes.
for a toilet flushing on film.
Oh,
I like that nomination. Indeed it does. Benny, your choice, sir.
I'm throwing out one I don't think has a chance of winning, but I'm going with Ishiro Honda, the director of the original Gojira from the 1950s. I think it's one of the best movies ever made, like when you look at it in its time. It's scary. There's some great political and historical undertones about nuclear war and things like that. It's a beautiful movie. It's a scary movie. And a lot like Godzilla Minus One, there are only two great Godzilla movies, and it's the other one because it has like a real human element. And I think pulling that all together, especially like they're talking about themes about nuclear war, about a nation recovering literally like 7 years after the nuclear bomb was dropped on the nation. So to be able to tell that story in that context to me is just really impressive.
Cool.
Benny, you love them kaiju. JT, your nomination, sir.
Yeah, best director. I'm going with one of the greatest directors to ever direct. When this guy makes a movie, he puts a stamp down, and it's because of every single little detail that is captured in every single frame. I'm going Stanley Kubrick, The Shining. That movie is a masterpiece, in my opinion, and it is all because of Stanley Kubrick. There are documentaries breaking down this movie almost shot for shot because of how layered this film is. The camera tricks, the composition, everything in this movie screams a master is at work behind the camera. So for me, I had to go Stanley Kubrick, The Shining.
Okay. We once again find ourselves all different nominations. I will say this. My second vote was going to be for Alfred Hitchcock. That was my 1B, was Alfred Hitchcock for Psycho. I think that's groundbreaking. I think the movie still holds up. The twists still hold up. I think that's the template for modern day horror movies. I think that's almost the template for horror movies in general, is Hitchcock. So if I had to lend a vote, I would vote for Hitchcock.
Yeah, I'm between Hitchcock and Kubrick myself. I'll take out my weirdo pick. That's fine. I'll vote either The Shining or Psycho.
Which one, Melissa?
The Shining.
Shining? Okay. Benny, what's your second pick here?
I'm going with Alfred Hitchcock for The Birds.
I was hoping you'd say Birds too, but. So you're going Alfred Hitchcock for Psycho?
I'm going Alfred Hitchcock.
I think Alfred's got it then.
Alfred Hitchcock is
not a bad director to win.
Yeah.
I'm
happy with it.
Yeah, no one's going to argue against that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sorry, I'm taking note of these people, so I'm typing as I'm writing here.
No problem.
Great. Great, great, great. Win. Okay, now we're going for best actor. This is best actor in a horror movie. Melissa, kick us off.
I am going to go with the man that has won the award for best actor in a horror performance, which is Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs. I think this performance is chilling. He's manipulative. He also has this charisma about him, and he just embodies evil, and the performance is amazing.
I'll chime in and also say that that is my nomination as well, for all of the same reasons that Melissa said. I can't look at Anthony Hopkins and not see Hannibal Lecter. When he's showing up in the Thor movies, I'm like, yeah, but any minute now he's going to be like, and he's going to, you know, threaten to eat Thor's liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. So I think, I mean, in terms of like male performances in a horror movie, you just, Anthony Hopkins maybe put out the best performance ever. That's my nomination. Andy, how about you?
Yeah, okay. So we'll go from a Welsh actor to an English one. My nomination is for Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out as Chris Washington. I have the Funko Pop of him sat on the chair with the tear rolling down his face. the reason that moment plays so well, not only is his performance incredible, and apparently just take after take, he could get that tear landing at the right time. He is so kind of cool and relaxed throughout the movie, a little bit curious and maybe suspicious, but nothing. That moment hits so well because he's played it so cool to that point. I just think it's a stellar performance and a great breakout role for those that didn't see him in the 15 million credits in Black Mirror.
So good.
Benny?
So I'm going with Max Schreck from Nosferatu from the early 20s.
Wow.
So here is the thing. This performance was so good that they have literally made movies about how this was a real thing happening as opposed to a performance. And pretty much any vampire movie and about half of the zombie movies made over the last 100 years have borrowed from things he directly did in this performance. It's the foundation for horror villain performances, and it still holds up. Like, watched it a couple months ago. Excellent.
It's a good nomination. JTE.
This one's tough for me. I totally understand Anthony Hopkins because he won Best Actor, but he's not in the movie. He probably should have been Best Supporting Actor, but he did win for Best Actor. It's a weird thing, Oscars. It all depends what you run for. But I went with an actor who is literally almost putting on a one-man show, a man who has to act against his own hand. I am talking about Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead 2, a one-man show stop from beginning to end. That movie is literally carried on his shoulders. I believed his hand was possessed and kicking his ass. That's how this guy was doing backflips. He is getting put through the ringer. It is one of the most physical, almost like a Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin of horror. I will say Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead 2. Might not win, but damn it, I'm giving him his roses.
Love it.
Justice for Bruce. Okay, so we have two already for Anthony Hopkins. So we'll go through if you guys had to choose another from your vote. Melissa, is there one besides Anthony Hopkins that have been nominated that you would also throw in a vote for?
I would probably go with Nosferatu.
I think if I wasn't voting for Anthony Hopkins, I'd probably go with Max Schreck too. I didn't even think to go that far back. Benny, if you were to cast a vote for another, which one would it be?
Bruce Campbell. Just, I absolutely love that. And Army of Darkness.
Andy, if you were going to vote for one besides Kahlua, who would it be?
Yeah, I guess I'm with JT on the technicality thing. Like, unlike Linda Blair, where you could argue the toss, I don't think there's any argument that Anthony Hopkins is a supporting actor. I think it's very weird, and I don't think it would happen now. I think it was probably a sign of the times that he was put front and center of that movie in terms of award season, but that would be my pick because it's so iconic and holds up.
And JT?
Yeah, I would go Anthony Hopkins. I mean, it's a technicality, but... Mm-hmm. So I just gave it to the guy. I gave it Bruce because he is an opening shot and the closing shot of that movie, and he carries the whole film. So to me, he is that movie. Anthony Hopkins, I do think, is supporting, but it's iconic. It's Hannibal Lecter. The sequels all pretty much sucked, but that first movie was amazing. So I'm down with Hannibal Lecter.
Cool.
All right. Anthony Hopkins for Hannibal Lecter and The Silence of the Lambs wins. Best Actress. This should be a fun one. I feel like there might be a couple of similar votes on this one, but Melissa, why don't you kick us off with your nomination for Best Actress?
I'm sure nobody has this on their list, and that's okay. I went with Isabella Gianni from Possession, 1981, as Anna/Helen. She plays this kind of dual role, and it's the best performance I've ever seen, maybe in a movie ever. In my opinion, I just think she really taps into this very emotional, raw state, and it's the intensity behind her performance is just, I've never seen anything quite like it. Her descend into madness, and then, yeah, playing these kind of two roles, I have not seen a performance that's topped it in regards to a horror performance, so I went with her.
Nice. JT, who is your nominee for Best Actress in a horror movie?
It's Toni Collette from Hereditary. I think everyone was banging on the door saying she should have been nominated for Best Actress that year, but unfortunately, you know, Academy doesn't really acknowledge horror films as much as they should. I think she is a tour de force in that film. I think the range of emotions she has to display from, you know, a mother to pure madness is Oscar worthy. So I went Toni Collette for Hereditary.
Justice for Tony. That is also my nomination as well. Andy, how about you?
Yeah, Toni Collette was on my list, so that would have been mine. But just to share the love a little bit, I think we're yet to see her full powers, but Mia Goth from Pearl would be mine. I think the whole movie, we're yet to see how that trilogy ends, but the whole movie is incredible from her. But obviously everyone knows the credits and the smile is worthy of a nomination at least. And also Lupita Nyong'o in Us.
That was my B.
Yeah. That's probably my C, yeah.
Benny?
My choice was Toni Collette, but since she's already got this one locked up, I'm going to throw out Faye Ray right there, the original Scream Queen from 1933's King Kong.
My C was going to be Kathy Bates from Misery. I'm sure nice. That probably made us some short list for you guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now the big one, Best Picture. If you guys are okay with it, I'm going to kick it off. There's been several nominees from this movie. This movie won Scariest Moment already earlier tonight, and that's going to be The Shining. Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece, I think. For every reason that we've all talked about, from the performances to the jump scares to the story to all of the above. So that is my nomination for Best Picture, The Shining. Benny, how about you? What is your nominee for Best Picture?
I'm going with The Descent because it is the only pure horror movie in the last decade that through the width and breadth of the movie, I felt on edge and I felt just like pinned in, like I was actually watching something that frightened me. And it just builds. It has fun moments. It has action moments. It has scary moments. And like I said, over the last 10 years, I think it's the only movie that's legit made me afraid. So The Descent for me.
Almost 20 years old, The Descent.
I watched it for the first time 2 years ago.
Nice.
That's good.
Melissa, your nominee for Best Picture.
This one was actually the easiest out of every single category for me. It is The Exorcist, because if I were to do, like, I feel like all the categories we've gone through tonight, I could pick The Exorcist for all of them. And so to me, that makes it the best picture. Not to plug myself, but my Letterboxd review is the longest review I've ever written in my life on this movie. Go check it out if you want. It's M. Woody at Letterboxd. But yeah, no, this movie is something that really touches something deep in me. And I think this is the scariest movie of all time. So it's The Exorcist for me.
JT, your nominee for Best Picture.
It was a two-horse race for me with this. I'll reveal my second choice, but my number one choice is The Exorcist. I think William Friedkin's masterpiece. I think it is a film that, while the most horrifying things in that film happen inside the bedroom, everything that's happening outside of that house in that bedroom is just as intriguing, interesting, and has something to say as what's going on with the devil and that little girl. I think it's just, I agree with Melissa, almost every aspect of it is well made. I can't think of like a single thing that I would point at, be like, oh, that could be better, or this could be tightened up. I do think the theatrical is better than director's cut. I know a lot of people, the director's cut is probably the one that most people have access to, but I kind of more to the theatrical because I think the ending is better. So the theatrical cut of William Friedkin's Exorcist would be my nomination for Best Picture.
Andy, take us out. Nominee for Best Picture.
Yeah, for me, it's The Exorcist. There's no contest here. It's just the out-and-out best horror movie ever made. Every performance in that movie, from the one-scene roles to Ellen Burstyn, Linda Blair, Lee J. Cobb, as we mentioned before, the sound design, it would win Best Sound if there was a category here for that. The effects in that movie probably should have been nominated when we were talking about special effects. Yeah, just an incredible film start to finish. And I agree with JT. It's like outside of the bedroom where all the action's happening. The character stuff is just so good. A mother that's so desperate. And it's almost everything I've talked about tonight has some sort of origin in Exorcist. Even when I was talking about Toni Collette for Sixth Sense and a mother so desperate to help, that's Ellen Burstyn in The Exorcist as well. So yeah, it just, for a movie to be that iconic and no one's ever got near how good that was with modern effects and abilities and technical stuff, like no one's got near it how good that was. So yeah,
I think The Exorcist is going to take it for Best Picture. I think so.
You know what, yeah. Though, Moose, The Shining was my second choice. It was between those two.
That was The Exorcist was my second choice, so
yeah.
The Shining was my second choice as well.
So before we call it a night, let's review all of our winners. For Best Supporting Actor, we have Robert Shaw from Jaws, Captain Quint himself. For Best Supporting Actress, Linda Blair from our Best Picture winner, The Exorcist. Best Creature slash Villain goes to Freddy Krueger from the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Best Kill is the chest burster scene from Alien. Scariest Moment in the Movie is the Shining shower sequence. Best Special Effects goes to The Thing. Duh. Best Screenplay Story goes to Scream. Maybe a little twist on that one. Best Score, of course, Halloween. Best Director, Alfred Hitchcock for Psycho. Great pick. Best Actor goes to Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs. Best Actress goes to Toni Collette. Justice for Toni, finally, for Hereditary. And Best Picture goes to the scariest movie of all time. That is The Exorcist.
Guys, hearing this list, I think we did pretty damn good. I'm pretty much outside of Robert Shaw, I'm pretty happy about everything.
I'm ecstatic about Robert Shaw because I was like, nobody's going to pick this. Like, I thought for sure when I like wrote that down on my list, I'm like, this is like, I love this performance. It doesn't get enough. Like,
honestly, there is a world where Robert Shaw is lying on a bed with an alien busting out through his chest and he's stabbing a crucifix into his butthole. I think this is a good movie. It's a good movie we've created, guys. Well done.
I love it. Listen, JT knows some Hollywood execs. Let's make this happen. But of course, we couldn't have had these Oscar awards without our special guests, both Melissa Woody and Andy Merriweather. Thank you guys so much for coming on. You guys are welcome back anytime. This is so much fun.
Oh, no. Thank you for having us. Yeah. This was a lot of fun. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So fun.
And I'll let you guys pitch, plug, promote. Melissa, where can people find you? Obviously, please check out her letterbox.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to plug it, but like I literally spent like probably 8 hours like writing that. It's like very, very long and detailed, and I have like this whole theory, so check it out. No. But otherwise, I'm at Film Coven on YouTube. It's a show that me and my friend Kelly do, celebrating the power of women in film. So check us out.
Nice. Thank you, Melissa, for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And Andy, where can people find you?
Yeah, all the socials is STS underscore Andy. The STS stands for Settle the Score, which is a show that I do with your co-host of the Action Oscars, Matt Nost. We basically have a game show that you all have been on where you have to name the film that the score or song belongs to. So come and check that out.
Andy, I know we've asked you to play before, but would you mind playing us out? Whatever no horror theme that you would like.
Okay, no problem. All good.
Good night, everybody.